Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today our guest is Vivian. Welcome, Vivian, coming all the way from beautiful Costa Rica. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, I wish I could be at those beaches over there right now.
That I know, would be right? Great. Uh-huh. Just chatting to her just before we went on live.
Yeah.
I could be there full time. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
She painted a beautiful picture for us.
So tell me a little bit, what did your journey look like? I mean, how did it all begin?
For me, it began in Canada. That's where I was living at the time. And I believe that's where I actually got bit by a tick. Within about a week of feeling a little bit unwell, a little bit kind of flu-like, I flew to Arizona on a vacation with a girlfriend. And that's when I began to get the headaches, quite bad actually, quite disorientated, fever, chills. Thought maybe it was sinus related issues. But then we saw, or actually it was my friend that noticed a rash, like a bullseye rash. At the time, I didn't know about ticks coming from England. Yeah, we just didn't grow up with them. And we were in our swimsuits this one day, and she pointed to this rash. And it didn't bother me. It wasn't itching. It just looked odd. It was your typical bullseye rash. And we thought nothing more of it. I didn't know the connection. She didn't know anything about Lyme. And then I went back home to Canada about a week later. And by then, the headaches were excruciating. I was just totally confused. My body was aching. I felt like I just, one minute I was fine, and the next minute I felt like I was going to pass out. Heart was racing, sweats. And then it just roller coastered and spiraled totally out of control. I still didn't connect the symptoms with the rash. I did go to the doctor. We did do the Western blot blood work. They said everything was fine. 9 months later, my life had gone, the life I knew. I was bedridden. My left side was numb. Burning in my head, just pain, and couldn't find words, couldn't communicate, couldn't have dialogue, not as I had previous to that. And at the time, I wasn't connecting still the dots with this rash, because I knew nothing of Lyme. And then I started researching with the help of my husband. And I remembered saying to him, I think I remember a rash on my lower left stomach area. Do you remember me talking about it? Because at the time, I just wasn't retrieving. My memory wasn't very good. I just wasn't retrieving information. I was second guessing myself. And couldn't quite remember events. And he said, yes, you had a rash. So we called my girlfriend who I'd vacationed with. And she said, yes, I pointed it out to you. We spoke about it. And that's when I sought a Lyme literate doctor. She's actually a naturopathic doctor in Calgary, and she performed biomeridian testing, and she treated me based on that or those tests, but also symptoms, because my symptoms were clearly Lyme, was connected to Lyme. And that's really how it all began. In between the 9 months, I would go back to the emergency room, thought I was having a heart attack, calling 911. And I was a businesswoman. I had my own company. I went to the doctor every year. I never bothered really with Western medicine. Very healthy, very fit, exercised. Didn't want to bother the medical profession, but thought they were there for me when I needed them. And they were not. They said I was menopausal. It was stress, stress of work. At that time, I was also going through a divorce, and it was anything but Lyme. And then they said maybe Parkinson's, which at that point, I felt that I needed to take care and be in control of my health and which direction I was going, because the direction with the doctors that I had seen was going south very, very fast. I knew there was something very wrong, because my light went out. It was that fast.
I was just interesting. Yeah. I mean, it was either stress or Parkinson's. Yeah, there's nothing, either stress. So yes. Either it was nothing or it was a lot. Yeah, so yes. That just fascinates me. And when you have these severe symptoms, yeah, you're bedridden and you have a yes. hard time retrieving information. You have all these other symptoms, and then they just kind of brush it off with, you know, it's probably just stress or menopause. I mean, I've seen a lot of people have been under stress, but they're, it's not like they're paralyzed, bedridden, and can't, you know, that's those.
Yeah, that's not really the symptoms of that. And, you know, when you're sick like we are, and the doctors tell us this, we really start to second guess ourselves, or at least I did. I thought, gosh, you know, maybe it is, maybe I am just depressed, or maybe I do just have anxiety and, you know, I work too much or something. You really start to believe what they tell you, because like you said, we believed the doctors, what they told us to do, you know, growing up. So it is very yes. sad that it's not really that way anymore.
And Parkinson's, I mean, did you exhibit any symptoms of Parkinson's, the handshake and?
My extremities weren't noticeably shaking, but I had the tingling sensation and I had the numbness. For me, it was on my left side, facial palsy, not a pain in my ear, but almost like a tingling, almost like water in my ear, like a trickling. My left leg below my knee was always numb. But I was always weak on that side, and it would get irritated as the day went on. So in the morning, it wasn't too bad. And then as the day wore on, I would just, you know, be quite numb on this side. So really it was the tingling that I spoke of more to them. And that's when they said Parkinson's, and I guess because terrible head pain and just, I mean, I would just be talking to, you know, someone, and then I would totally lose track of what I was saying, or I knew my I was saying the word in my brain, but I wasn't able to say it. I would get lost, you know, I'd be driving and then I wouldn't know where I was going, and then I would get anxiety. But I remember this one doctor in the ER, and I looked at him in sheer desperation and said, look, I'm sick. You can see my history. I don't bother coming to the hospital. I'm a healthy woman. I'm here because I'm genuinely sick. And he said to me, I believe you. I just don't know what is wrong with you. Maybe we should explore Parkinson's disease. And that's when I'm just like, I don't have that. I absolutely don't have that. And that's when I started researching. And my only other option was to go with a Lyme literate doctor. I just needed to find someone that understood and believed me and would treat my symptoms. And luckily I found someone, but 9 months had gone by and I could barely get off the couch. I mean, by that point, it just accelerated so fast in me. And I'm relatively small and I don't weigh a lot. So I don't know if that factored into how quickly it took control. But it did. But they make you feel like you are this menopausal, high maintenance woman. And my history did not show that. So it was a very scary time, but then I did find somebody that could help me, and it was a long journey to recovery. But I was very aggressive with treatment, and that was the only way I knew I was going to get better. I had two options: not get better or get better. And I wanted my life back. I wanted the light to go back on because I loved my life. And I was going to reclaim it no matter what I had to do. And I did some awful stuff and drank and ate some awful things. But I've recovered. You know, I've been in recovery now 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. What a story. I have lots of questions. How do I go backwards? Yes. So I love that you said that for the listeners. You know, you either can get better or not. And those are kind of our two choices. And like you, I loved my life. I wanted to live. So backing up to when a doctor did a Western blot on you, was that, did they know about the rash that you had? Or did they just randomly think Lyme disease, so they did the Western blot?
No, they did see the rash. And I'm going back now to 2012. I didn't get my blood work done until 2014 with Igenex. But at that point, I was already with my naturopath who had been treating me. She just said, let's do your blood work. I had no problem. At that time, it wasn't very expensive. And it's funny, even though I lived in Canada when I contracted this, I still have all my paperwork, all my blood work. I've kept everything so I can reference it should I ever need to. So it's funny that I had two indicators on the Western blot for Lyme, but doctors didn't treat me based on whether it was the CDC guidelines at the time. But when we did the Igenex, you know, it was quite clear. At that point, I had, you know, co-infections. And again, I just, you know, am grateful that my Lyme doctor treated me on symptoms, because the biomeridian testing isn't really a test that Western medicine acknowledged, but she treats me on symptoms. And that's so important. If they'd have treated me, because I went within 2 weeks of that tick bite, my prognosis was good for antibiotics at that time.
And that's what's really frustrating, is that most doctors know, or they should know, that a bullseye rash is a telltale sign of Lyme disease. And so when you come to somebody with a rash, which not everybody gets, so I kind of feel we're lucky when we do get it, right? We get this rash and we're sick. Like, forget any testing, treat me. Like, hello. I mean, that's just the way it should be, and it's not.
Yeah, and now we're in 2023, and I'm going back to 2012. And I could so easily walk away from Lyme, because I have been well for 5 years. I'm not symptomatic. I haven't had a relapse. I could so easily walk away from this. But this disease does something to you. that you cannot let go. You still have to be connected, and I'm connected on Facebook to the forums. If there's someone that you can guide or offer help or say, look, this is what I did. It may not work for you, but what I did is still very current today. It's very current today. You can be healed. You can go into remission. I mean, I personally believe I've recovered. I don't believe I'm in remission. I feel I'm well. This, I will never allow this back into my life. And my life is better, believe it or not, for having Lyme. I would not be as healthy and as fit as I am today in my 58th, nearly 59th year of life. And so I have to be connected, because the pain was too great for you to walk away, because you can't allow someone else to live like that. You can't, because the doctors, you know, it's a 50-50 if you're going to get a good one and they're going to prescribe you antibiotics. But it's amazing when something presents itself on your front door, how it stays with you for the rest of your life. And if you can help one person, and that one person help one person, you've just got to keep going until somebody listens to you. And not everybody does, because this is hard. These treatment protocols are hard, and everybody wants that quick fix. There isn't one, unless you catch this early.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's just reality.
You said that just so perfectly. Like I couldn't have said it any better. And so again, we so appreciate you sharing your story with us, because we need people like you to share their voices into the community, because they need our help. And,
yes,
you know, that's what this podcast is all about, is giving you that hope and that inspiration, and then just sharing everybody's journey, what worked for them. And they can pick and choose, you know, different pieces from everybody's little journey and make their own protocol or whatever they need to do, because, you know, we all know that not one treatment works for everyone. So.
Right. Yeah. And go ahead.
No, yes. I was just going to say, and that's the thing, when you are in bed and you are down and out and you can't get up, you can't think, you're, you know, in extreme pain. I mean, yes. It is really hard at that moment to think that life is going to be different and that there's a way out of this. So then to hear other people's stories again and again and again, you know, that have been in the exact space that you're in and so many other people on this podcast have been in, then how, that is the testimony that, yes, I may not be able to shower today because I'm in so much pain and I'm so exhausted and I just can't handle it. But I know by pushing, yeah, and finding a solution, this has an end.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was fortunate that when I found the naturopath, I mean, my protocol was all herbal and mostly nutrimedics, very similar to the Cowden protocol. And I pulsed in the latter stages, which I believe is critical, certainly in my treatment. I find right now that it's very confusing for people that are suffering, because they need to give a protocol time. It's not a quick, in 14 days, you'll start feeling better. I find that they're jumping from what they've heard somebody has been doing, and then they'll go to another treatment, and they won't give it the time. They won't be patient, because herbal, you know, takes time to get to that level that you need to get to. So I sympathize with them, because I think there's a lot of confusion. Everybody wants to get well. I mean, I was sick for, you know, several years, many years from my perspective. Not as many years as some that are chronic, and I sympathize with them. But I just find that if people don't see results fast, they drop a protocol and they'll adopt something else that they've seen on Facebook. And so that's why I stress upon them, be patient, but you really need to be guided somewhat by a professional that, you know, has credibility. Because the protocols will work for the most part, but I mean, mine took months and months and months to get to the level of, I started on one drop a day, right? And then you go to two and then three, and then you stop if you feel that, you know, you're hurt, saying you're not feeling so good. I find a lot of people just stop. They stop taking the herbs, or they quit altogether and go to something else because they're hopeful for a quick fix. And I personally don't think there's no quick fix for this. You've got to give it time. You've got to be patient. And I wanted to give in. But I had to dig deep to believe in my naturopath and believe in the herbs and understand the herbs and understand the qualities and how they could help and understand the Lyme and how the Lyme survives and what it doesn't like and what it does like. And that's so important. It's not just to take certain things, but you have to understand Lyme. You have to understand your enemy. You have to outsmart it. You can't if you don't understand what qualities of the tinctures that you're taking possess. But you've got to have faith in something. And I find when you're so sick, that's hard.
So when you say you have to understand Lyme, and obviously we've been talking about it a lot, but how would you explain for somebody that are now in the position that you were in, and you would like to portray that this is Lyme and this is how it is and this is why you need to continue? So how would you explain Lyme?
You know, one of the things that even my naturopath, I felt, didn't tell me in detail, and I appreciate everybody's on the clock and everyone's busy, but she never really told me the importance of diet. She never really told me the dangers of sugar, artificial sugar, and how that's an energy source. Well, it's an energy source for most infections, bacteria, cancers, whatever. I never understood that the food was also contributing to my ill health and was enabling the Lyme. And the Lyme was gaining strength and multiplying. And I never knew that. So I was starting off my protocol, but I was still eating a diet of sugar and having a glass of wine maybe, and regretting it and not understanding, why do I still feel so bad? And it wasn't really the irks, and it wasn't the die off. I was just living the lifestyle I used to, but on the couch. So I was eating chocolate and having the occasional muffin and donut and cakes. My diet, even today, artificial sugar has been gone now for 11 years for me. There's no more cakes or muffins or chocolate or sugary desserts. I tried to incorporate that back, but you know, your taste buds adapt and I don't really like it anymore. So it's not in my diet. So diet was huge for me because I was enabling the Lyme. I was giving it energy and I didn't realize. So then when I realized, I stopped cold turkey. I understood what the Lyme liked and what it didn't. The temperatures, I did well in the ocean. I did well in salt water. I did well in the infrared sauna because that detox, I mean, that was amazing for me for detox. I bought a sauna. I was in it every day. I attacked Lyme from every direction. Rife machine, sauna, tinctures, you name it, I did it. And I felt awful. But when I pulsed, and I understood by pulsing, when you come off the tinctures, you kind of make yourself a little unwell again because the Lyme is coming out from wherever it's hidden and it starts attacking you. And then you throw another bunch of herbs at it. I embraced feeling sick every time I pulsed because the feeling got less and less intense, but I knew that I was destroying the bacteria and I knew I was getting well. And so I took back control and I took back the power and I just fifth gear, and that blinkers were on and that was my agenda. I didn't work. I just focused online. So the diet was very, very, very important. And just understanding, is Lyme outside my cells? Is Lyme inside my cell? Understanding the biofilm, how to get it out of the biofilm, the pulsing. Because when I talk to people about pulsing, a lot of them don't even know what I'm talking about. And you can pulse with herbal or antibiotic. And I think that's so critical to a protocol. I mean, I may be wrong, but for me, it was critical.
So it played a role. So what's a good strategy in pulsing in your eyes? And from all the reading and everything that you've done?
Well, so as I mentioned, I mostly did the Nutramedics. So Simanto and Banderol were tinctures I had every day, starting at one dose and going up to 30. And then once I'd stabilized and felt well for the first time for a long time, I stayed at that dose for about 4 months because I wasn't ready to pulse. Mentally, I had to get my, I had to prepare myself for pulsing because my naturopath told me when you pulse, you'll come off for 2 days. The Lyme essentially comes out because it knows that you're a good host again. It comes out of its biofilm and then I would attack it with my other ones were, Commander, Mora, Anula, and I'm going to say it wrong, Hutanea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good name.
Yeah, so I would then pulse with two at full strength for 2 weeks, and then I would stop for 48 hours. And then I would bring the other two, the Anula and the Mora, I would then pulse with them. So we would flip for periods of time, then I would go back full strength to Simanto Benadryl. So there were 2 days where I was not taking tinctures and then 15 days, two different sets of tinctures. And each time during the 2 day rest, that's when I would begin to get symptomatic again because there was nothing in my system, essentially. The Lyme would come out to play around again and taunt me, and then I would hit it with those tinctures. And I was always taking supplements and liposomal vitamin C and glutathione, and it was just a constant regime of supplements and supporting my immune system while I did this, as well as the detoxification, the saunas, the Rife machine. I actually believe worked very well for me because I would hurt quite a bit after I did the Rife machine. So I think there's certain elements that were very important in my treatment, and the Lyme responded very well to those things that I used. But for me, I know that pulsing works because when I was at the Simanto and Banderol, and I stayed there 30 drops of each. So Simanto Banderol. So I took it 4 times a day, 30 drops of each. I felt great, but I understood that when I stopped, my symptoms would come back because the Lyme was being attacked and it was hiding in its little nutshell and just waiting for me to stop treatment and be a great host again. And so that's, mentally, I was prepared. I understood what pulsing was. I understood how the Lyme would react at that point. Mentally, I was ready and I hit it as hard as I could.
And you noticed as you were pulsing or hitting it that you were, you noticed progress with either that it was getting worse or better as you were hitting it again, and you're noticing, you know, obviously in the beginning, I would assume it's getting worse, 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 yeah. And then all of a sudden the tide started to turn and you started to feel it's getting less and less.
Yes. And that's when I upped my detox. And that's when I was doing the far infrared sauna. I actually purchased one as opposed to the one that you kind of get in like a little, mine was a two-man infrared sauna. And I know some people buy, it's almost like one you zip yourself up in. I'm not sure how effective
like
they are.
Something.
Yeah. But I actually got an infrared. I got a gently used secondhand one. I went to a health facility first and used theirs to determine, just to kind of test it to see how I would feel. And I then decided to purchase one. But every time I pulsed, I did, you know, feel unwell, but it became less and less and less until I'm like, oh, I don't feel unwell, but I'm pulsing. And so then you know that you were on the right road. Eventually I was symptom free and haven't done treatment since.
That's awesome. That's a great explanation too, because I always say that you get sicker before you get better. And people need to understand that most of the time that's a good sign. Like that's a good thing that you're getting sicker, even though it's not what we want to hear or not what we want to do. We think, and I think that that's sometimes too, when people jump ship, they get sicker. They're like, okay, this isn't working for me. I need to get off of this and start something else. So that's good for you to explain that to us.
So tell me a little bit about, you're saying that people need to understand, you know, inside the cell, outside the cell, biofilms, you know, give people a little bit of an understanding how the Lyme behavior is in regards to that.
Well, you know, for me, I needed to understand how aggressive Lyme was, how it would attack me, and how it was going to do that, and how I would feel. I didn't know that Lyme was intracellular. And is it extracellular?
Extracellular, yes.
So I wasn't informed of that. And I think that in order to understand your doctor or your naturopath, because they don't go into that amount of detail, I believe you are responsible for your own health and that you should research. And so that's just what I did. I just went on. I am not a Facebook person. In fact, I have only started doing, and that's how, you know, we met. I've only started doing Facebook in the last 2 years since I've come to Costa Rica. Because of that, wanting to be connected and wanting to try and help. There's people that I can't. I recognize that, and there's people that I can. But I had to take it upon myself to learn about Lyme disease. And so I just read books as much as I could read anyway, basic knowledge, but at least I understood what was or what had taken over my body. And where was it? It was in my heart, it was in my liver, it was in my brain. My naturopath never really explained it fully. And again, that speaks to, you know, just she has so many patients. She would give me literature and I would read it, my husband would read it. And he was great support for me. So my second husband, I was very lucky. So, you know, really it was just my own research.
And we, excuse me, we get that a lot because we truly have to become our own advocate. When we decide that either we don't want to get better or when we decide we want to get better, so many of us have to become our own advocate. We have to learn. We have to reach out. We have to talk to people. We have to interview doctors if that's the route we want to go. We can't just walk into a doctor and just do what he says, because a lot of us have been down that road, you know, with the traditional doctors out there, and they fail so many of us. So don't just trust because, you know, they're a naturopath or they're a holistic doctor. Don't just trust them. Maybe they're not going to work for you. You know, interview them, like I said. Like, lucky for Dr. K, I kind of, you know, knew I liked him right away. So, oh, Pat, I apologize. We're not quite done, Pat, and somehow we got commingled. Our bad. We're going to kick you out. Apologize for that, Vivian.
You know, I do, I think it's also important to research who are some of the most renowned doctors specifically for Lyme, and research their protocols, and research herbal as well as antibiotics. I believe there's a place for antibiotics. Antibiotics was not my choice. I personally, after what I read, felt that the long-term antibiotics, in my case, would not be good for me. And herbal would be more gentle on my body and less toxic. In fact, not toxic at all, given I was supervised and increasing the volume over time, and having faith in that. I wanted to cure myself from Lyme and the co-infections I had. I didn't want to cause any more stress on my body with antibiotics. And like I said, I know there's a place for antibiotics with other people, and that's their choice. For me, herbal was preferred, and it worked, and I believe it's helped many people. And I believe in some cases that it's as strong, if not stronger, than some of the antibiotics. I believe they're very powerful, and cured me. And I still have Cemento Banderol in my cabinet should I need it. Acquiring that in Canada became a little more difficult. There was some changes in regulations, and I was only allowed to order in so much from the States. But which I think is a shame. It's very sad that I can go to a doctor and sit there and cry and get some terrible antibiotics and painkillers and medicine for depression that my doctors were very eager to write that I refused to get filled or take them. And I'm so glad that I have the strength to not do that, because as soon as I got rid of Lyme, the only thing that's a problem for me is short-term memory. I do have a little bit of an issue with my memory. And some scar tissue in my shoulders. But other than that, I have no other issues, nothing that lingers. I exercise, my diet is good, no sugar. Yes, I have a glass of wine, I have natural sugars, but my diet is organic, and in Costa Rica, it's very easy to be organic. So I live a very clean lifestyle, and I have Lyme to be thankful for that, because you've got to find something positive. I was meant to have Lyme. I believe that I do. At the time I didn't, but I do. And I'm a better person. I was a good person before, but I'm a better person today for having Lyme. I'm better educated. I feel that I can help others. And I believe that's all good. That can't be bad. That can't be bad.
That's a great thing. Yes. And the Lyme definitely changes you, and you can, you know, let it change you however you want, whether you want to have a negative perspective of it, or if you want to turn it into a, you know, a positive change that, you know, we're the stronger of all strong people. I say this all the time. I'm stronger than anyone I know because I beat Lyme. Like I truly believe that. And, but you know, you can take with that and do what you want, but we love people like you that want to take that information that we've learned and that knowledge and our pain and suffering and turn it into something good and to reach out to the Lyme community and continue to get them through those days that we didn't think we were going to make through.
Yes, I totally agree. And there's some great people that are suffering and, you know, they hold their head high. And some of the characters that I've met, it's amazing because as you know, those days were very painful and are very painful. And how you get through the day with this disease is, you know, I don't know how I did it. I mean, really, I really, you know, there were days where I willed myself to sleep and hoped that I would not awake. You just don't want that for anyone else. And so, you know, I applaud you too, because you're doing what you're doing for the sake of others that are struggling, and you're a voice for them. And that's wonderful.
Exactly. We need to be that voice, because whether you have a bunch of support or you're doing it alone, either way, it's a very, very dark and isolate disease. And when I contemplated suicide during my journey, and I had to find my why. And coincidentally, one of my whys, I don't have children, but one of my whys is sitting right across from me. It's my niece. She's up visiting me from California for a week. And it was her and her brother that was my why. I thought, these kids need me. I need them. And I've got to fight for this. So find your why and go after it. So, yeah.
Well, exactly.
Well, Vivian, it's been such a pleasure, and thank you so much for sharing your experience and the hard knocks learning that, you know, this is like a doctor's degree beyond belief.
I was just going to say that we never really thought we were going to be a doctor, right?
Yeah. this deserve an amazing diploma that everyone should have. So thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely.
You're most welcome. And you know, thanks to you both for allowing me the opportunity. And I can only do this because of what you do. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
Thanks. Information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.